Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
From ancient legends that refuse to die to modern encounters that defy explanation, each story I'm going to share in tonight's episode is going to be a doorway into the unknown, where every creak, every whisper, and every shadow could be the start of a new nightmare. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends, and welcome if you're new. Today I'm going to be sharing some creepy and downright strange campfire horror stories that'll freak you out on this summer night. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit yours at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. You can also submit them on Reddit now at r/thedarkswamp. Now, without further ado, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe if you're new, and get ready for these creepy and downright strange campfire horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. Something in My Room at Night by Suspicious Seesaw. Recently, I moved into a new apartment, and for the first time, I'm having sleep paralysis. Whenever I feel presence, someone touches my side and my back with their fingers. I have abandoned my room, and I never really go in there unless I have to. It's not just because of this. Other things have also occurred. A couple of months ago, I was lying in my bed, and in the reflection of my TV, I saw a being about 3 feet tall standing and staring at me. As soon as I noticed it, in a strangely inhuman way, it ducked down incredibly fast and out of view. I immediately got up and looked under my bed. I could see nothing. This happened to me quite a few times when I was a child as well. Not just when I was older. I was having a nightmare about a short, hooded figure about the size of a child. When I ran up to see what it was, I felt a sharp pain in my left side and woke up. When I opened my eyes, I saw a being in the darkness standing about a foot away from me, about 3 feet tall. After seeing it for a few seconds, it vanished into thin air as if it had never been there at all. Well, the sleep paralysis with it touching my back also happens to that same side I felt a sharp pain in when I was a kid that woke me up. As I had mentioned, it got so bad that I had to abandon sleeping in my room altogether. The last couple of nights I was in there, something terrifying happened. One night, I felt something kind of bothering me, and like it felt like something was almost getting up in the bed next to me, and like moving my mattress. I could feel its weight. The next night, I woke and I saw what looked like the hand of a child reaching up from under my bed in the reflection of my mirror trying to grab me. Well, this is where things get really scary. The next day, my roommate told me how his coworker had a weird experience. A being reached up from under the line in a restaurant when he was closing alone and grabbed his leg. It then tried to do it again. He was always alone when this would happen. And there was no room for someone down there to hide. I didn't tell him what happened to me, and we had no contact with each other at all. Things like this have happened to me since I was just a kid. It doesn't matter where I go, it follows me absolutely everywhere. I don't know if it's one thing or multiple things happening to me. I've had more experiences where a man comes up talking to me and waking me up in the middle of a dream, or some sort of weird voice that I hear at the other end of the house. Another time it's somebody clapping their hands and weird rhythms and stuff like that, but I'm always home alone. Recently, even though I've been sleeping in the living room with my cats, I've been woken up twice now by a voice talking directly in my ear. The last time it happened, it was so loud that it actually hurt my ear. One night I got drunk and I was taunting it. I know it was a stupid idea, but I felt stressed and I was at the end of my rope. I told it that it was a coward for hiding and I would find it, and I laughed. Well, it yelled directly in my ear one morning saying,
"Aren't you gonna laugh at me now?"
Things all over my home have been moving independently. Lights have been turning on and off. Cats are chasing and growling at something I cannot see. This is bizarre, but a couple of weeks ago when I was watching TV with my roommate, I saw something duck behind my mattress. I have been living in my living room for some time, but whatever it was, couldn't have been larger than a half a foot. What even is that small? When we got up to look, there was absolutely nothing there. I tore that room, limb from limb, piece by piece, looking for anything that could be hiding in there. There was nothing. Some people say it's hallucinations. Some people say it's just sleep paralysis. Some people say it's just paranoia. I couldn't tell you. It's important to note that I haven't been having just paranormal or supernatural experiences. I also saw what I believed to be a gray alien at one point. One night when I was walking home, around 2 in the morning, I saw a very tall, slender-looking person with no clothes on, crouched behind some bushes right outside one of the bedroom windows of this house. It had a teardrop-shaped head, massive black eyes, and it had barely any nose or mouth, no ears that I could tell, and it was roughly 8 to 8.5, maybe even 9 feet tall. There was another time that I woke up with my shirt on backward and blood in my mouth. I don't know if this was a paranormal experience, something to do with those aliens, or if I'm just overreading into all of this. Thank you for sharing my story, and I would love to know any thoughts in the comments down below. Creepy Whistling in Peabody Creek Trail by Zed the Second. Hello, this is about something I heard while hiking on the Peabody Creek Trail, and this show seems like they would enjoy it. I live in a relatively small city, around 20,000 people, called Port Angeles, and we have Olympic National Park in our backyard. Near the park's visitor center, there is a half-mile trail that loops around to the visitor center. About halfway down the loop, there is a Peabody Creek Trail that loops off of that. It's about a 2.5 mile long trail, 2.7 miles to be exact. Now, I'll admit, I'm not the most outdoorsy type, quite the opposite, and I'm the typical teen who stays inside all day gaming rather than hiking or camping or anything of that sort. But on the last day of school before graduation, one of my teachers gave my friends a list of hiking in the area. They invited me to go on one about a week or two ago, but I declined because there is no way I'm lugging my fat self around 8 miles up and down a mountainside. I decided to pre-game the hikes or go outside and hike some a little bit less intense trails in the area to get more in shape. Anyway, after canceling the hike, I loaded up my bag with water to adjust to carrying a heavyish bag up trails. I had little over a gallon of water split into 5 bottles, some jerky, dried fruits, and a couple of granola bars. I initially intended just to walk the half-mile loop. Still, on the way to the visitor center, I saw something on the side of the road. Looking back, I was sure it was probably a warning that I should have followed. I live within walking distance, so I just walked to add in some more steps. On the side of the road was a dead cat. It looked like it had been there for a couple of days, maybe even a week. I kept walking down the road instead of taking that sign as some sort of hint. After 15 minutes of walking, I start the half-mile loop, which was uneventful but absolutely lovely. Once I made it to the trailhead for Peabody Creek Trail, I said something along the lines of, "Screw it, why not?" and I started up the trail. I should preface that I got to the Peabody Creek Trail around 6:30 p.m., so the sun was about to start setting, and I didn't bring a flashlight in case it got dark, because I'm not very smart. Now, Peabody Creek Trail is a lot rougher than the half-mile loop that I was just doing. Peabody Creek Trail is a lot of ups and downs, with hills and stairs, and a lot of steep stairs as well. While walking down the trail, I got the absolute crap scared out of me by some other people walking the trail the opposite direction, which was made much better the second I recognized one of them. It was a staff member from my high school and presumably his wife and dog. We chatted briefly about nothing in particular, as you do when you see somebody you know, and let them pass briefly. After they passed me, I kept walking and noticed the bridge was out. This bridge was essentially just a log with boards attached to the top that crossed from the right side of Peabody Creek to the left side. The bridge had been snapped in half at the middle, across, not lengthwise, and had fallen into the creek. So you had to keep going up the trail until you found the next bridge. You'd have to climb down almost a sheer face and drop about 7 feet down, which wasn't that crazy, but pretty hard for people who were immobile. Thankfully, it's a shallow creek at the very least if you had to go through it. I should have taken the bridge being out as a sign to turn around and go home, because I continued to go on the trail in front of where I was looking, around these curves that went around a massive hill, and it keeps going forward again after that. I began to hear strange whistling sounds to the left of me, maybe about 100 feet up the trail. It was 2 short notes, one lower, one higher. It was definitely a man's voice, so it was probably the guy who had passed me whistling for his dog earlier. At least that's what I thought. Then I heard the whistle again, except this time it was slightly closer and coming from directly before me. It was the same 2 notes, with no differences. None at all. Usually when you whistle or do anything with your voice, there are minor fluctuations you can hear, slight differences each time. This was robotic and perfect. It was like someone had recorded the first whistle and played it back, and then recorded the second one and played that one back. Then I heard the same whistle again, only closer and about 45 degrees to my right. Right then, I was hit with some weird thing. It was like an overwhelming dread that I shouldn't be there. Like, I need to get out of there as quickly as possible. And then I heard the same whistle again on my direct right. All of the whistles happened in about a 15-second period and spanned a distance of at least 500 feet. Impossibly fast for a human being. Mainly because the last 3 whistles were for sure from off-trail. As soon as I heard the 4th whistle, I did a 180 and started getting out of there as fast as I could, absolutely booking it and almost jumping over the creek entirely. Once I thought I would be out of earshot, I began to run and kind of whimper a little bit, even faster. I know I said I was sprinting, but when I say I went faster, I was absolutely tiptoeing it out of there as fast as possible like a sprinter. Now, I'm not necessarily a paranormal skeptic or a believer, and I'm not really one to jump to paranormal explanations immediately. I prefer a mundane explanation so I don't have to freak myself out and be scared to go hiking anymore. But I can't explain this experience. This experience is something that I've never really ever thought could happen. Somebody could set up some system to play back the whistle or whatever. It could have just been an incredibly fast person, but I never saw anybody either. That's the part that really freaks me out. Creepy Walmart Coworker by Elysium G2. I've worked at Walmart for 3 years and I've seen my fair share of weirdos. It's just something that comes with the territory. However, one person I met who worked there is the closest I've ever known to true evil. This story isn't like something out of a horror movie, but rather an example of how the scariest things can be the real-life monsters that lurk around us every single day. I've changed the names in this story for anonymity. To give some context, I'm a 24-year-old girl, and I've received unwanted attention from several older men over my years at Walmart. It's uncomfortable, sure, but usually I can brush it off and avoid them. This all changed for me that day that Andrew started working there. Andrew was in his mid-30s. I immediately sensed something was off with him the first time he spoke to me. He seemed overly friendly and flirty, as a guy would say to a girl when he had an ulterior motive. I tried to make it seem like I wasn't interested and clearly showed that with my body language and the way I spoke to him. He asked me for my name, which I had to give him since it was on my name tag and we were co-workers after all. After our interaction, I thought, I'll just try to avoid him from now on. Unfortunately for me, I couldn't avoid him. We didn't work in the same department, but I would encounter him often while walking through the back room and the sales floor. I could feel his eyes on me every time I walked past him. I just had this intense gut feeling to stay away from this guy. One day, I had to go down the aisle where Aaron Drew was stocking some certain items. This was a very narrow aisle, and I didn't want to be alone with him. When he saw me, he immediately started up a conversation. He asked me when my birthday was and wanted to know how old I was turning. I told him I'd be turning 25, and he seemed in disbelief. I've always told him I look younger than I am, and my braces didn't help any. His shock about my age set off a major red flag. Did he want me to be younger or something? Did he want me to be underage? Another time, the two of us were alone in an aisle, and Andrew asked me if I lived alone. Again, this is an immediate red flag. I told him that I didn't and I had multiple roommates. He then prodded for more information. When I told him that I lived with a big male friend, he asked if I was dating him, and I told him, no, I'm not dating my roommate. He said his heart sank when I told him I lived with a man. I wanted to roll my eyes. While talking to other female coworkers, I learned they also got creepy vibes from Andrew. He treated many young women who worked in the store the same way. One night I was on Facebook and saw his profile in the People You May Know section. Being curious, I clicked on his page and in one of his recent posts he said he had been in jail at one point. This piqued my interest, so I googled his name and I felt my stomach drop as I read the headline that popped up. Man charged with SA of a 12-year-old girl. Upon clicking the article, I saw his mugshot. It was him. The neck tattoos matched in everything. Except for one thing. Andrew wasn't his real name. The article named him as Jeremy. He must have changed his name in an attempt to hide his past. My heart was beating out of my chest as I realized that I, along with my coworkers and friends at Walmart, had been targeted by an actual predator. The next day I told my manager, I feared Andrew and mentioned the article I found. Several weeks later, I learned that Andrew had been fired. The reason? A 17-year-old employee reported that he was making inappropriate comments towards her. He was also found drinking on the job. Doing the math, he has a 12-year-old victim and multiple other victims that were either between the ages of 17 and 18. All I can hope is that she finds peace.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
I was visiting my girlfriend and her family in Lawrence, Kansas, for the holidays when we decided to go to Stoll Cemetery one night. It was about 20 minutes away from her home. Her father always likes to go exploring and her parents are night people, which I love. So every day, none of us would go to bed until about 5 a.m. the following day. The night we decided to go, we left around 4 a.m. and her mother chose to stay in. Her father, my girlfriend, and I decided to go to Stoll. We parked next to the church across the street from the cemetery. I was already a little nervous as her dad warned us about the town not allowing people into the cemetery very often, and they're fairly hostile. There is a cop usually posted up there to ensure no one trespasses onto the cemetery, but luckily there was no cop this time. When we stepped out of the car, the silence felt heavy, like a weight in the air. It was holding back even the wind. We left the car and crossed the street. To my surprise, there was no fence to jump over or even a gate. The entrance was wide open, and we walked right through. We passed some of the graves and visited a few. I wonder how recently some of the graves were made, as the ground felt spongy beneath us. It was dark and we didn't want to attract much attention, so flashlights weren't being used, so we had to do the most with the streetlight. Passing the graves, we passed this lone, contorted, dead tree at a bend that took us up the hill. At the top of this hill sat the rubble of the church that used to reside there. According to my girlfriend's dad, the town tore down the church in the 90s because hundreds of people would go and vandalize the property at all points of the year, especially in Halloween. According to the local legend, if you threw a glass bottle at the back of the church wall and it didn't break, Satan would appear and drag you to hell. Anyway, the rubble of this church was still there. We walked around it, on it, and moved stuff around looking for anything exciting. Anything like a trinket or maybe even a sign from the paranormal. We found nothing but these weird scratches on some of the stones along the front perimeter of the rubble. Too organized to be an animal, but it could have been some kids fooling around. We looked around for about 20 or 30 minutes, went behind the church toward the creepy-looking dead trees, and went around some of the brushes, and went around some of the bushes surrounding the perimeter. Because it was so quiet, we couldn't hear a car coming from a couple of miles away. Because it was so quiet, we could hear a car coming from miles away. So we would once again turn off our flashlight to ensure we would not be seen. After a while, my girlfriend found an unbroken glass bottle lying on the grass in front of the perimeter of the church. It was an empty Corona beer bottle. I immediately thought it would be funny to pick it up and place it along the back perimeter of the church, where the wall was, and then throw it and see if it would break. She called her dad and me over, and so we went. And when she saw that I was going to bend over and pick up the bottle, she turned away. Later, she told me she couldn't believe I would touch the glass bottle. Her dad was to the left of me, pointing a flashlight at the bottle, and my girlfriend was behind me. And the second I touched it and picked up the bottle, we heard a strange sound. It sounded like gas or fizzing. The bottle was empty, though. And it sounded like it was coming from 15 feet or so away, towards the back of the rubble. Immediately, her dad and I pointed our flashlights toward the sound and saw nothing, but maybe 3 seconds after the fizzing noise, we heard a weird gargling sound and some clipping. It sounded like some sort of creature, but I couldn't identify what it was possibly. Her father later told us that he had been in Kansas all of his life and had never heard a sound like that. Stranger still was that if it was some sort of animal or fauna, don't you think it would have been freaked out and ran away from all the noise we were making? We never found the source of the sound. After holding the bottle for a little while, searching for the sound, and hearing my girlfriend say that she couldn't believe I picked it up, I finally dropped the bottle and took a couple of photos, most of which I don't think I have access to anymore. We then made our way back to the car, certainly spooked out, and when we got back to the car, the lights were on inside the vehicle, when we definitely left them off. We could see it in the distance as we approached it, the only light source in a sea of darkness. We got to the car, checked all the doors, and they were all indeed locked and closed. I thought maybe one of us had left the door open. When we got inside the car, something just felt creepy and off and static. No one remembered turning on these lights or anything on the contrary. But we remembered turning them off because my girlfriend's dad was changing the batteries in one of the flashlights before we even got to Stoll. Well, that was our experience. I'm curious to see if anyone has any similar experience in Stoll Cemetery or otherwise. When I was still young, maybe 6 or 7, my folks got the great idea of converting our garage into a family and game room. This was the 80s. The concept of the family game room was becoming popular, primarily because of the rise of arcades and the availability of having arcade games and consoles like the Atari 2600 to the consumer market. It was indeed a fantastic time to be a kid. Although my parents often used the garage to store things, my dad grew tired of being unable to watch TV because my brother and I constantly were playing video games. He had seen a conversion, a neighbor who had decided that this would be the best way to get his television back. First, he traveled to a local hardware superstore and purchased a steel shed to make up for the storage space he'd be losing. Along with a six-pack of Miller High Life, he spent a few days putting it up in our backyard. Despite falling in on himself within a year, he seemed pleased with his work. His next step was to find a company to do the conversion for a fair price. He called every company in the phone book, but they wanted more than he wanted to pay. After asking around, a friend recommended a group of guys who had remodeled his kitchen for dirt cheap. Since my dad was a first-class cheapskate, these were the guys for him. After much haggling, they were contacted, and Dad hired them for the job. My dad was in such a hurry to regain control of the TV that he couldn't wait until the spring to start the renovation. As a result, the guys could use the space heaters to be comfortable working in the Kansas winter. From the start, these guys were nothing but trouble. When they did show up at the house, which was very rarely, they did very little and often called it a day by 3 p.m. My dad had to call several times to complain. Once or twice, he even had to make them redo some piece of shoddy work. If I remember right, my mother tried to get him to fire the guys and hire a new company, but regardless of all the headaches, my dad was a miser to the bone. Eventually, he would be forced to get a new set of contractors. However, this was only because a near-deadly disaster would force him to. One night, Billy, my little brother, and I would be put to bed just like any other evening. At some point, my mother would shake me awake in the middle of the night. She was yelling and had a very panicked look on her face. I slowly started to rise when I began to smell smoke. My mother was next to the door, yelling at my brother. It wasn't long before the smoke caused me to start choking and coughing. I remember putting on my robe when my mother ran back into my room carrying Billy on her shoulder. I don't think he was even awake yet, really. She pushed me out of the room and we ran down the hall toward the front door. My dad was standing in the foyer. He must have been waiting for us. By then, the house had filled with thick black smoke, but I couldn't see any fire. This changed once we all made it out to the front lawn. I stood with the rest of my family watching the flames engulfing the house and illuminating the neighborhood. Fire trucks arrived a minute later, and we all got checked out by the paramedics. They fought the fire for over an hour, but the house was already done for. We would be living in a motel for the next 6 months or more. About a week after the fire, Dad got the report that stated it had been started by a faulty space heater in the garage. I can only imagine how furious he was to read this. This still didn't stop him from wanting to hire a Yahoo back to rebuild the house. My mother put her foot down at this point. However, when she threatened to take Billy and me and move in with her parents, my dad folded and hired a reputable company to do the job. I'm suspicious that he only chose them because he wasn't paying for them. The check from the insurance company did cover all the costs, luckily. He probably would have found another group of cowboy builders to do the job and keep the extra money if he could, but I don't think he thought of that. I love the man, but Jesus. The work was completed relatively quickly. My parents chose to have the new house rebuilt in almost the same design as the original. The significant difference was the construction of a large game room at the back. The family would spend most of our next 10 years there, even Dad. The garage was put back to work storing things, and the shed was left to collapse. There's still a big pile of rusty steel all these years later. I thought I'd share this story about something a friend and I saw years and years ago while cruising the back roads of Kansas late at night. And maybe you can use it in an upcoming video. My friend and I were young adults around 2007 and 2008 in a small town with nothing much to do. So one summer between college semesters, we decided to explore the back roads of our part of the state at every chance. We spent much time driving down those dirt roads. Our favorite route wound through the country roads of a town near the Oklahoma border, twisting through the Gyp Hills and taking us through a few ghost towns along the way. We'd set out late on this night and hadn't gotten to our route yet until maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. We must have taken a wrong turn onto a previously unexplored road because we quickly noticed that we were lost. We were chatting up a storm and sipping on our tea before we even realized this, though. I was riding as a passenger, looking out the window into the darkness of the Kansas summer night. not much to see but endless stars overhead. I can't remember what we were talking about at the time, probably our future or something. But as we cruised at about 45 miles down the dirt road, I saw something that startled me. Up ahead, caught by the headlights of my friend's car, I saw a shape stand up tall alongside the road. My friend saw it too, pumping the brakes. Initially, I thought it was a deer, a widespread feature of the Kansas landscape, and it was about the right size to be a deer. It was only about 4 to 5 feet tall, if I had to guess. Whatever it was, it turned to look right at us, and its eyes lit up in a glare of the headlights. They were bright red, almost crimson. As soon as it looked at us, it darted across the road at an inhuman speed. That's when we realized this was no deer. Neither of us got a good look at what it was, and moved away way too fast, but the details we could agree on were that it was relatively tall, 4 or 5 feet tall, covered in dark fur, and was running on two legs. We sat there in the middle of the road looking at each other for a moment, with that WTF expression on both of our faces. And when my friend decided to goose it and get out of there, we hauled down that dirt road far away from whatever the heck that thing was. We couldn't stop speculating. What the hell was that thing? My friend suggested it was a chupacabra. I threw out maybe a small Bigfoot. Whatever it was extraordinary. Neither of us had ever seen it. And what happened next was just as bizarre. Heading towards us at roughly 1:30 a.m. on a summer night, about 30 miles from the nearest inhabited town, was a pair of headlights. Nothing too odd about that, really, at first glance, even though we were way out in the sticks. There were still farms. The vehicle caught up to us quickly. He had to have easily doubled our speed, maybe about 75 to 85 miles per hour. As he roared past us, we noticed the vehicle details. A large, late-model white SUV. Not the farm truck you'd expect. And why was he going so fast? He was going way too fast to make out a plate. Weird, we thought. Chalk it up to another one of the weird and high strangeness events that we would encounter in this area. But that still wasn't all. As soon as his headlights disappeared into our rearview mirror, back in the direction we had just seen the thing, no less than a fresh set of headlights appeared ahead. This vehicle was also screaming at us. As it passed us, we noticed that it had the same model as the last car. It was another large white SUV. Another vehicle followed shortly behind that one, as if that wasn't creepy enough. This time, it was a large white van. It looked new, and it was hauling ass. My friend and I don't talk anymore, but we both witnessed something strange in the middle of nowhere, Kansas that night. What was that thing we saw? And what were those three big white vehicles heading in its direction? Thanks for reading my story and keep up the great show.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright strange campfire horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. If you enjoyed these stories, be sure to slap that like button so it knows you mean business. Every like helps this video grow, and it's very much appreciated. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Be sure to subscribe and turn on those notifications so you never miss a new episode, as I upload them multiple times a week in all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep us going on a daily basis. If you're on the go, but don't have YouTube Premium, but still want to download and listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories no matter where you are, you can download them absolutely free from Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and pretty much everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. Thank you guys so much for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I'd love to see you guys outside of YouTube. Come see me over on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Facebook, Instagram, all the fun social medias, and I'll see you all soon with another creepy episode.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.